This is New England Public Media News. I'm Kari Njiri. The pandemic continues to take a serious toll on the emotional health of children and teens. In Western Massachusetts, a surge in kids needing acute psychiatric care has exposed a disturbing fact. These services are in short supply. In the first of a three-part series, New England Public Media's Ben James reports hospital emergency rooms are bearing the brunt of a mental health crisis. A warning, this story contains a brief discussion of suicide.
Dr. Jolie Hettler is chief of pediatric emergency at Bay State Medical Center. She says the symptoms kids are showing up with in her emergency room are not only extreme, they're confusing.
I have never seen so many kids come in with unusual complaints like a body part that won't stop shaking or a body part that they can no longer move.
Kids who've stopped talking, unexplained belly aches and headaches, sleep problems of all sorts.
And after a careful history and physical exam, it's pretty clear that their bodies are okay, but they're suffering because of emotional things happening in their lives.
Stress, social deprivation, a profound rupture in ordinary routine. Some kids have proven remarkably resilient during the COVID-19 pandemic. Many others are suffering. And health professionals aren't the only ones witnessing a surge of kids at the emergency room.
Hi, my name is Jessier. I am 11, turning 12 this year.
And I am Nicole, and I'm his mom.
Will you go get
her
bike?
Yeah, that's what I said. I got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Nicole DeNoyer lives with her son in Springfield. She's been bringing him to the emergency room for crisis care since he was 5.
I've never seen it as bad as I did most recently back in November. When my son was boarding in the hospital for a week, there were over 9 kids that were waiting for a placement in that one facility, and 3 or 4 of them had to sleep in a hallway because there was nowhere to put them.
Jessier is a sweet, loving, exuberant kid with a complex presentation and multiple diagnoses. His mom says he can become physically and verbally aggressive, a risk to himself and the people around him.
It gets pretty intense. He's been in every type of program that you can think of in the mental health system, he's experienced it.
Jessier returned home from long-term care at a residential program last summer. DeNoyer says the new pandemic normal, stuck at home, socially distanced from other kids, didn't sit well with him.
So he did end up getting hospitalized again for about 2 months. And so he's been home since November. And we've been on the up and up for the most part, I can say.
Jessier loves school.
I love reading.
Yeah, what do you
mean? I read mangas, books, and comic books.
Up until a year ago, the services provided by the Springfield School District were critical to Jossier's well-being. But remote school, not his thing.
It's like talking to a computer instead of talking to really them. I feel antsy, and if I'm at school, I could just say, I need a break, and walk away. But in virtual, they're like, where are you going? Where are you going?
Jossier's bounced around a lot this past year. After returning from his most recent hospital placement, he attended an in-person therapeutic school in Holyoke. And last week, he returned to his neighborhood school for the first time in over a year. His experience brings into sharp relief a fact that many families, doctors, and educators are discovering. School and youth mental health are profoundly connected. Bay State's Jolie Hettler.
So there's this unspoken social contract between our schools and society that, in addition to teaching, schools will serve all sorts of other roles for our kids.
Belonging, identity, self-esteem. And while overburdened teachers and administrators have scrambled to provide academic instruction this year, schools operating remotely have struggled to take on a more basic question. Are kids okay?
I'm alarmed. I'm alarmed by the severity of what we're seeing amongst children.
Ellie Dutoy is the Mobile Crisis Intervention Coordinator for Behavioral Health Network. It's her job to find clinical support and hospital placement for kids facing mental health emergencies in parts of Hamden and Hampshire counties.
High number of serious overdoses, serious suicide attempts.
A recent national study from Fair Health compared the past year's private insurance claims for specific pediatric mental health issues to claims made before the onset of the pandemic. The findings were sobering. The percentage of claims for overdose and substance abuse disorders rose significantly. Incidents of self-harm were up even more dramatically, especially in the Northeast.
just the severity and the extent of the depression is worse than I ever have remembered seeing it for our kids.
For many children, this is their first time experiencing severe mental health issues. Their families are suddenly coming up against one of the most brutal limitations in the mental health care system, the long-term shortage of hospital beds for kids needing acute psychiatric care. Some beds are scheduled to become available in the coming weeks, but there are currently no psychiatric hospitals serving kids in Western Mass. This is old news to DeNoyer, who's been forced to send Jasir across the state multiple times, making visitation extremely difficult even before the pandemic.
So I have a question for you. When you have a hard time and you have to go to the hospital, what is it like for you when you have to go to like Worcester and Westboro and be very far away?
It makes me feel frustrated and, you know, I'm gonna be honest, pissed, because, you know, it's just annoying.
The shortage of beds is a key factor leading to the pileup of youth cases in emergency rooms. Bay State's Dr. Hetler says the long boarding times are a real problem.
The ED is a terrible place for a child who's in crisis to spend any amount of extended time.
In February, Behavioral Health Network had a total of 30 children and teens waiting for placement, the vast majority boarding at Hetler's emergency department in Springfield. 13 of those kids waited more than a week for placement. 4 were waiting more than 3 weeks.
Our top longest boarder, or child waiting for a bed, waited for 36 days, and that was over a week longer than our next longest boarder, and that person was identified as transgender.
Transgender youth have faced increased mental health challenges during the pandemic. Dutoy says one reason for the long boarding times, psychiatric facilities often choose to place trans youth in single rooms, even if the patient has made it clear they are fine having a roommate. Meanwhile, the effects of the pandemic accrue. Bay State says they currently have a record number of kids awaiting inpatient placement. Dr. Hetler tells a story about one kid who really did not want to be there.
He struggled with us. He had been with us for a couple of weeks, and he was a big kid, and he finally got a placement somewhere, and we said goodbye.
All as it should be, except that within hours, staff learned there'd been a mistake. The placement had fallen through.
And so we had about a 15-minute warning that he was going to be coming back. Shouldn't we have security ready for him? And instead we said no.
One staff member runs and buys some balloons from the gift shop. Other staff make signs. They grab some hospital cookies.
And we had a big cheering crowd when he showed up. And what could have been a difficult transition and need for security intervention turned into be a welcome back party.
An emergency department in the throes of a pandemic takes on this most pressing challenge, helping a kid feel like he belongs. For New England Public Media, I'm Ben James.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline can be reached at 1-800-273-8255 or suicidepreventionlifeline.org.